That's one beautiful song. What a message in that song. And how we need to keep in mind when we come to the Lord in worship that we know that He does have that deep, deep, deep love. And He loves us to recognize Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. And today, I want us to focus on Jesus' predicts His own crucifixion. Last couple of Sundays, I preached from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I also used this particular scripture from John chapter 12, Jesus' words Himself as He spoke about the seed and the plant and His upcoming foretelling His death in verses 27-28. I only have verses 20 through 26 listed today in this message, but last week I read 27-28 and about Him being glorified. We should glorify His name each day, and especially this time of season. So if you will follow along with me as I read, beginning with verse 20, John chapter 12. Here we see the Greeks or the Gentiles come seeking Jesus. Now there were some Greeks or Gentiles among those who were going up to worship at the feast. They too were coming to the feast of the Passover. These came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask Philip, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus, or we want to see Jesus, or we desire to see Jesus." I mean, you could, different translations, but the focus was they wanted to meet Jesus personally. Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And we also see that down in verses 27-28. In verse 24, "Truly, truly," Jesus says, "I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies," same as what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life," or life eternal. "If anyone serves me, he must follow me." That's why Jesus told his disciples, if you want to follow me, you got to drop everything you're doing right there and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. "And where I am, my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Now, I want to read the other two verses, 27-28. It's not on the screen, but these are the two I read last week along with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because Jesus foretells his death here. He predicts his upcoming death. "Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. Now today, this text opens with a group, as I read, of God-fearing Gentiles or Greeks who come to worship at the feast. They too knew Jesus would be there, and they came looking for Jesus because they wanted that personal encounter with Jesus. And they was God-fearing people. But they were are more just curious visitors or one or, you know, investors of Judaism. They are seeking the truth. They approach Philip with the appeal to, we want to see Jesus. And to their credit, they did not just want to physically see Jesus. They did not just want to learn more about Jesus. Or having heard or observed, they were attracted and drawn to him because they wanted to believe in him. They wanted to know him. When I read this, it brought to my mind a passage of scriptures in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. You might want to mark this down. This, I love this verse. Paul says that I may know him. See, they came because they wanted to know Jesus personally. They wanted to know the truth that he'd been prophesying. They knew he was the claimed Messiah. And Paul here in verse 10 of Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That's how Paul wanted to know Jesus too. After he had met Jesus, he said, now that I'm saved, I know that I'm saved and sanctified in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I want to know him more. And the power of his resurrections and the fellowship of his sufferings and to be conformed to his death. Now, Paul wasn't saying I want to die just like that. But he said, I want a better understanding why Christ came into this world, that he loved the world so much, that deep, deep, deep love of Jesus, and was willing to die for me. You know, he could have taken Paul out there on the Damascus Road, couldn't he? He could have. But he just blinded him, got his attention. And therefore, when Paul wrote this here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, not only now do I know he's my Savior, but I want to know everything about Jesus Christ because I want to know the power of his death, his resurrection, and be transformed in such a person that I will be able to proclaim him and tell people what he's done for me. Jesus, therefore, challenges them and us to die that we might live in this passage of Scripture. So this morning, let's learn how true discipleship requires self-discipline or self-sacrifice too. Following Jesus, embracing death, and bearing spiritual fruit again, or to gain eternal life. That's the only way we will. So let's look at life comes through death. Paul Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Jesus talks about it here. Not only here in John, but also in Mark chapter 8, 34 through 38. And Colossians 3, 1 through 3. So if you want to read more about the sacrificial death and so forth, read those passage of scriptures as well. So here in verse 24, let's look at this right quick. The first spiritual principle right here in this verse from the cross is found right here in verse 24, and is the life that comes through death. That's Jesus, what Jesus said. And to emphasize this again, let's read verse 24. I say to you, and Jesus said that in a way to get everybody's attention. He wanted them to understand, just like agriculture, that we put a seed in the ground and it dies and it bears much fruit. And Jesus said, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone, but it dies, it produces much, much grain. So think about this now. A grain of wheat has little value until it springs forth out of the grave into new life. The ground is a grave for the seed, but it produces new life when it dies, and it's beautiful. So a grain of wheat, real potential does not occur until it dies. And that's what Jesus is saying here. That's how our life is. We live, but we produce eternal life when we die to this self, this world, and gain eternal life. So Jesus used this natural principle of seed to illustrate spiritual truth. And that's what the Greeks came to hear. They wanted to hear Jesus and the truth that he was talking about and had been sharing over a period of time, that there could be no fruit without death, no resurrection power without surrender. Same as what Paul is saying in chapter 3 of Philippians. So, in and of itself, the seed is weak and useless, but when it is planted, dies, it fulfills its purpose. Just like you and me. Now, this principle is natural, that death is essential for further fuller life by the reason applied to what by Jesus to himself. He was applying this for himself. In order for him to die for the sins of the world, we would have that victory as well. We would live. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, that we might live in him. In Romans 3:23 says, there's none good, not all, no righteous in any man. So, this speaks of Jesus' death, and Jesus died on behalf of others that they might be fruit of his death. So the simple truth is right here, and this is what the Greeks were looking for, the Gentiles, and that's what we should be looking for. If he does not die, we cannot live. If he did not, which he did, now we live. So his death is what produces the fruit of life. The first fruits, okay? The Bible talks about that. Jesus says our life will not multiply spiritually. It won't produce a crop of the future. It won't be spiritual productive either. If we do not die to self, we have to surrender. That's what Paul was saying in Philippians chapter 3. I just want to keep emphasizing that. that he might be conformed to Jesus' death, to see why Jesus died the way he did and why he died for the sins of the world. That way I can conform my life and be transformed in the likeness of Christ. But if we die to self and plant our life in Christ, it will grow and multiply and produce great spiritual harvest. And he himself bore our sins. Jesus did. So, the lesson that Jesus taught about the grain right here of wheat dying before it can produce fruit was fully expressed in his own death and resurrection. And Jesus was telling us about that here in John chapter 12, beginning with verse 20. And we too need to live each day by this example, or even, as the Bible says, the law of the cross. And Jesus fulfilled that law of the cross when he joyfully came into this world, grew up, and went to the cross and died for our sins. Now, next, life comes through an exchange. We exchange this life for something much better, right? Much, much better. I'd like to emphasize Romans chapter 5 when Paul was talking about there's much more in our life when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ. The abundance of the joy of living for Christ. And that's why in chapter 5 of Romans he said there's much more to come as we live our life for Christ. And here in verse 25, I want to read this verse again. It makes an application of the grain of wheat that dies plain, okay? He who loves his life will lose it. Does that make sense? In our common thinking, probably not. But in Jesus' perspective, this is what he was trying to get a point across to us. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. I'm willing to do that, aren't you? For the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm willing to do whatever this verse says. In verse 25, it says, a person who loves his life loses it. So, we must be prepared to renounce present interests for the sake of future inheritance. To love one's life here means to give it priority over the interests of God's kingdom. I tell you what, there's nothing here in this world is worth, you know, keeping for the sake of our inheritance in heaven, because all this will be burned up one of these days. It will be destroyed, gone. All because of the sin nature and what took place from the very beginning of time. So, looking for the truth, as the Greeks were looking for the truth, they come seeking Jesus. The truth is that we lose everything that we associate with this life at some point. It's just a matter of time. So we cannot hold on to our own youth. We can't, no matter how hard we try. Now, you know, there's a lot of people in the world who try to make that transformation by going to seeing all kind of doctors and so forth and getting a facelift and all this other stuff. And it turns out much worse than what it started, right? I don't understand it. Just let the natural things of this life happen to your body. I mean, we are to take care of our bodies and and room them and all that good stuff, but trying to fix it is something that God didn't intend for it to look like. It looks terrible. You know, when we try to transform it into something that God didn't mean for it to be. I don't understand it. We cannot hold on to athletic ability. Can all of you do what you used to do? Can you jump high again like you used to? Me and Dennis was talking about that. We can't jump. We can't even do a lot of things that we want, like to do and could do. But we can't hold on to these athletic abilities and things like that. So why try? I mean, we can keep, don't give up though. Keep moving. And we cannot hold on to our mental capacity. How many can you remember all the things that you used to remember and you try to recall, and sometimes those things that just happened 2 seconds ago, you was going upstairs or coming down, and then you couldn't remember why you was going upstairs and when you was coming down, where you was going or coming, right? Yeah. And sometimes you go back into the room to just try to remember why you went in that room. And then why you're standing there, so why'd I come back in here for? So those are the things I'm talking about. Why we try to hold on to those things if we're looking for something much better. We cannot even hold on to our loved ones, can we? Oh, we'd love to. It's just a matter of time. See, Jesus tells us to prepare for it now, today. Can't wait till tomorrow. You had to prepare for it today. And don't focus on grabbing and keeping what you have. You know, Cor Ten Boom, everybody knows her. She was a missionary, right? India. And I love this saying. I like to read a lot of stuff on Cor Ten Boom. She was a miraculous lady, loved the Lord, and sacrificed a lot to be a missionary and care for others. And she said, "I have learned to hold all things loosely." Loosely. Don't hold on to it real tight, but loosely. So that God will not have to pry them out of my hands. We don't want God prying anything out of our hands. Just so hold on to it loosely. Like you would when you catch a fish and you're going to let it go back into the water. You hold it loosely and it slides right back into the water. You might think, well, if I catch a fish, I'm going to keep it. It's good eating, right? But don't focus on things like that. So it is less painful to hold loosely to the things of this world so that God does not have to pry them out of our grips. So the contrast between loving and hating and it brings out the sharp contrast of choice and consequences involved in a personal reaction to Jesus. Now, in comparison now to our love for Christ, all else must be placed as far away as love is from hate. It's like as far as from the east, from the west, or north from the south. So if people decide their lives are more important than God's will, then they will forfeit that type of life God wants them to have for them. So, a life of relationship with Him now in eternity is what's important. And finally and quickly here, let's look at verse 26. Life comes through service. It's our reasonable service according to the scriptures read this morning, right? It's our reasonable service to the Lord because he gave so much for us. So the outcome of dying to self and the world means the opportunity to serve Christ, as it states here in verse 26. I'm going to read that again. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Don't look back. Don't pause. Don't just think about it. If you want to serve the Lord, you got to follow him. And where I am, there my servant will be also. So if we're willing to do that, we'll be where Christ is. We'll be just like him. We'll be transformed and we'll be just like Christ. If anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. You want to be honored? Serve the Lord. And you'll be honored. So we can only share in the surrendered life of Jesus if we take up the cross and follow him weekly? Is that what it says? Yearly? No, daily. We got to do it daily, day by day. So dying to self, to live in a personal relationship with Christ, means the Christian life is a life of service. And I think sometimes we forget about that. We think we get saved and we're good and we're secure. We don't have to do anything but set on our good intentions. But that's not the way it works. To serve the Lord, you must be with him. To be with the Lord, you must follow him by learning to be obedient to him. You got to die to self. Following Christ may involve suffering sometime. It's a test in our life. How much do we really love the Lord? It's a test. It was a test for the disciples. It was a test for the Apostle Paul. It's a test for us. How much do we really love the Lord? How much are we willing to suffer for the sake of Christ and our life eternal? For there is no crown without a cross. Scripture says that. You think about that. You got to really ponder and reflect on what Jesus is saying here. Christian service means losing opportunities in this life to serve Jesus Christ. Give up things that we want to hold on to. Like, let's let Christ have to pry it out of our hands. Hold on to this life loosely. Anyone who serves Christ will be honored by the Father, according to verse 26. For to share the Master's service means to share the Master's glory. Worth it, isn't it? And in closing, to serve Jesus means to live according to the principle of dying to self in order to live in the obedience to God, but it's a life that brings spiritual life, and it will honor. We will be honored by God. Our lives will be honored by God. Scriptures tells it as it is because that's what Jesus said, and he tells the truth. Amen? He does. I believe it. And we claim it, and we'll be honored. Let's pray. Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. Thank you for these scriptures. Thank you for your word. It gives us insights and it really encourages and motivates us to really think about holding on to things loosely in this world that doesn't matter. Well, you give us everything, Lord. You meet our needs and you provide everything. Lord, you're so good to us. And we are to set our minds on the things above, not the things on the earth, as the scripture tells us. And focusing on us, Lord, when you came into this world and died for our sins, we need to focus on our service to you, as the scripture says. If we serve you and be obedient, we shall be honored by the Most High, Almighty God. Oh, how wonderful that is. Priceless. So as we sing our special this morning, our invitation, I gave my life for thee. What will you give for me? Lord, let us reflect upon your perspective of life itself and eternal life, and then we will have a better perspective on life from yours. Lord, speak to our hearts. May we be open and sensitive to respond to your Holy Spirit this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.